We'll be looking at Psalm 56 tonight. Now, the Psalms contain poetry that soothe the soul. Most of the world, when they need comforting from the Scriptures, they usually go to Psalms, and maybe Proverbs from time to time, but definitely Psalms. And those who have a deep appreciation for God's Word know that when times of trouble come their way, that it is time to open the Psalms and read them. The Psalms are written, just like all poetry is, to evoke certain response or feeling in the reader. There are certain Psalms that comfort people when trouble comes their way, and the Psalm we're looking at tonight is just one of those Psalms. The Psalms also build our trust in the Lord. And tonight I want to share with you this psalm that was written by David when he was pursued by the Philistines, the enemies of God, and the enemies of David. David is troubled for the things that they have been doing to him, as you can see in the text. At this time, he turns to the Lord for help, for comfort, and for strength. And it's a wonderful psalm, and it's a powerful psalm, a psalm that has great meaning for us today, who at times, all of us experience the same feelings that David expresses here. The psalm divides nicely into four sections, and we're going to look at those tonight. Let's look at verses 1 through 4. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. David begins with an impassioned plea to God for mercy. Be merciful to me, O God. He needs God's help against the seemingly unbeatable foe. The Philistines were numerous, and they were mighty. They were very strong. They were a power to be dealt with during that day. And they did not like David. But God is omnipresent, and he is almighty. His enemies were with him all day long, hounding him, fighting against him. And if you know anything about David's life, his enemies were with him constantly. If you remember back at home, Saul was lying in wait to kill him because he didn't like him, because David was a threat to his kingship. When David fled to another area, the Philistines were lying in wait for him because they didn't like him, and we all know why. He killed their giant. Remember David and Goliath? Sound familiar? Foes all around, ready to attack. And we can feel like David sometimes. The problems we sometimes face seem to be ever before us. Turn this way, here's a problem. Turn the other way, another problem. Seems like problems sometimes just keep mounting up and mounting up on us. It seems it's inescapable sometimes. Safe place to turn seems non-existent, but not for David. David shows his confidence in God to deliver him by stating his assurance in him and praising him. And notice David says that he has put his trust in the Lord, past tense. David knew through past experience, remember the lion and the bear, Goliath, all those experiences, that he could trust in God to keep his word. He had no fear of what the flesh could do to him because he trusted in God. Does that mean that people in the flesh could not hurt him? No, that's not what he says there. He knew they could hurt him, but he did not fear that. Okay? David simply states that he will not fear that. David's plea is our plea many times. Be merciful to me, O God. David's confidence should be our confidence as well. We should have that same kind of confidence that David had as he faced his enemies. And that's hard to do sometimes because we get so caught up in this world, so caught up in ourselves, that sometimes we don't take the time to really turn to God and put our faith and trust in Him. The second part of this psalm, verses 5 through 7, talks about David's trouble. Notice he says, all day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, he says it's the Lord, in anger, cast down the peoples, O God. David first mentions his problem here. They twist his word. You ever had somebody twist your words? That's not what I said at all. And they twist them so easy. They have their thoughts of him are evil. They want to do evil against him. They gather together and they hide, lying in wait for him. They mark his steps. They're watching him closely for that time that they can pounce on him, watching every move he makes. All of this for the purpose of taking his life. And David knows it. Then David does something that I believe we would think was unthinkable in this day and time. David prays that God will cast down his enemies. It sounds like David was asking God to do evil to the Philistines. And guess what? He was. He was. He asked them to cast them down. Now remember, the Philistines are also enemies of God. What meaning does that hold for us today? Should we pray for our enemies that God would cast them down, would destroy them? Is that what that means? We need to remember that the Philistines were enemies of God as well. And when we pray today, we can ask God for the same thing. We should be asking God to cast down the evil that is ever before us. The Philistines were evil. And David asked for them to be cast down. Today in our prayer life, we should be asking God to cast down the evil that is before us. Because we are God's people. Because if it is evil, it is of Satan, God's arch enemy. We do not pray for harm or evil to come upon others, no matter how they treat us. Because remember, the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what we're supposed to do. Not the people, but the evil that they do against us. And remember, Jesus had that same mindset when he was on the cross. What, did he not? Father, forgive them. They were going to kill him. He knew that they were going to kill them. But he didn't hate them for it. He didn't call down angels to strike them all dead. He asked God instead to forgive them. For they didn't know what they were doing. And we would consider that evil. We are to pray that they stop the evil that they are doing. And that those responsible for the evil, Satan, will be cast down. And he will. And the third part of this is 8 verse 8 through 11. God's watchful care over his people. I like this part the best, and you'll see why. It says, you number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? You need to circle that verse. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. You need to circle that verse. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This is my favorite part of the psalm, verse 8. And then verse 9. Or should I say it's one of the two most favored parts. Notice God's watchfulness over his people. You number my wanderings. God sees all that happens to us. We need to keep that in mind. God sees everything that is happening to us. And he knows every move we make. So he knows what is happening to us. It's not like he's taking a break and he's looking somewhere else. He knows what we're going through. Remember, God is omniscient. And then this one, put my tears in your bottle. In ancient times, when people mourned for lost loved ones or some other tragic event, friends of the one in sorrow would wipe their tears with a cloth and then wring the tears into a bottle. The bottle would then be placed near the tomb or some other place as a memorial for the sorrow that was experienced by that person. Archaeologists have discovered these bottles in tombs. Just empty bottles because the tears have evaporated and gone. But empty bottles that at one time had the tears of those who were in mourning in them. Just think about what that means. What David is asking. I'm in trouble here. I'm crying. I'm going through this. It's terrible. But I know that you know what's going on. And that you care because you're there with that cloth, dabbing those tears, wringing those tears out in your bottle. And you're saving those tears, a memorial of what I'm suffering through. Man, that's a beautiful thought. You talk about God watching over us and caring about us. And then he says, are they not in your book? Again, David mentions the fact that God does not forget our tears, and he records or he remembers what happens to us. And sometimes the tragic things that happen to us. And he knows that. And we can turn to him in prayer, just like David did. When trouble comes our way, we can turn to God and really, really express ourselves because he knows exactly what we're going through. And he cares about us. And notice what he says then. David knows that when he cries out to the Lord that his enemies will flee from him. Notice the boldness, the confidence he expresses there in verse 9. I will cry out to you. When I cry out to you, then my enemy will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Man, that's the way we should feel. When trouble comes our way and we're crying out to God for the things that are happening around us, troublesome times, cry out to God, knowing and the confidence that our God cares for us, and have the attitude that David did here. God is for me. That's great, isn't it? My thoughts directly go, because he said at the end of that verse, at the end of this passage, in God I put my trust, he says, what can man do to me? My thoughts go to Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say, Paul says, to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How much is God for us? He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to the cross for us. That's how much he's for us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How much is God for us? We cannot fail. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because God is for me. Then David repeats in poetic form what he said earlier, with a few additions and changes expressions, his confidence in God to deliver him. He knew God would deliver him. He knew it, and God did. And then finally, 12 and 13, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? One of the first things that people tend to do when trouble comes their way is to flee, is to run away. Flee from God many times because they do not think that He is with them or helping them. They do not believe that God is for them. Even when bad times happen, when a death or a foreclosure or whatever happens, sometimes they flee because they don't think God is there. And they blame God. They don't believe God is there. That didn't happen with David. Man, when these things happened, he prayed to God and he knew. He put his trust in God and he knew it would turn out all right. And it did for David. Sure, he suffered. He suffered along the way, but we're not guaranteed not to suffer, are we? But we can know this, that God is for us, that He will take care of us. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good that are for those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So if we are following God, we can trust God just like David did here. Instead of fleeing, we need to run to God, not run away from God. David did not flee. Instead, David affirms his allegiance to God. He says, vows made to you are binding on me. O God, I will render praises to you. In other words, I've committed myself to you. I've made vows to you, and I'm going to keep those vows. I'm going to be faithful to you, God. Vows that David had made to God were binding. And that's strong language, even by today's standards. They're binding. That means we need to fulfill those vows. David knew that he had given his word, entered into a covenant agreement with him, and that that covenant was binding. David would remain faithful to God because he knew that God is faithful to him. David's faith in God is evident in the fact that he speaks of God's deliverance as if it had already happened. Notice what he says there in verse 13. For you have delivered my soul from death. How did he know that? How did he know God's deliverance? And he had no doubt that it would happen. Again, go back and look. Look at the experiences David had in life. God delivered him every single time. He knew God would take care of him. And we can know that as well, the same way David did. I'm certain that David's faith was so strong because he trusted in God's word, because he remembered all those past experience of deliverance in his life. Our faith grows stronger when we reflect on our life and meditate on God's word and what he has done for us and how he has changed our lives for the better. And when we look at the way God has delivered us in the past, our faith grows stronger too. God will deliver us. All things will work together for those who are called according to his purpose. Are we following God's purpose? If we are, then God's going to take care of us. We know the deliverance is coming. In God's own way, deliverance is coming. But we know this, that God is faithful. And for that reason, we need to be faithful too. That is the natural response to God's care and deliverance for us. It was for David. David says to walk before God in the light of the living, that I may walk before God in the light of the living, there at the end. And that sounds a lot like 1 John 1:7, But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. What is our proper response to God's care and faithfulness to him? Faithfulness by walking in the light as he is in the light. It also sounds a lot like what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The natural response in our lives for God's deliverance is to live godly lives before God. And that's what David was going to do. And that's what David did. Okay? God delivered David from this too. Right? Just like he delivered him from the lion, from the bear, and from Goliath. He put his faith and trust in God, and God delivered him. Troublesome times came on him. Oh no. What does he do? He goes right to God with it. There's great lessons for us to learn tonight from that. And I hope this lesson has encouraged you and will encourage you in the future. This psalm has become one of my favorites because of verses 8 and 9. Next time you are oppressed and depressed, oppressed and depressed. I want to make sure that's clear. Oppressed by others and depressed because you start feeling bad about yourself. Turn to Psalm 56 and read about David, especially verses 8 and 9, 12 and 13. Think about David. When troublesome times come, turn to God and trust in him. Tonight, if you're here and you have occasion, you had troublesome times, and one of the things you did to handle it was flee from God, it's time to come back to God. Because God is there. God is faithful. If you're following him, he'll take care of you. He will remain faithful to you, and your proper response should be to live godly in his sight. Don't run away from God. Run to God. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, please keep that in mind, as I will do the same. And then also, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, remember this, that you don't have these promises of God. So when troublesome times come to you and you pray to God, number one, your prayer's not answered because you're not following God. Number two, you have nobody to deliver you. You have no comfort that comes from God in his word. That only applies to people who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus tonight, won't you make that decision tonight to do that? To put on Christ in baptism through obedience to the gospel, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized into Christ. Begin your walk with the Lord tonight. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so right now while we stand and sing.